Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Destroying the Works of the Devil. In order to destroy the works of the devil, you need to know his tactics. The Bible says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." But most people don't pursue it, and so their lives are mediocre and they function through sheer discipline. In order for the devil to attack you, he must first take away your joy so that you will be open to the filth which he will put into your mind. Praise is an offensive weapon because it is not an emotion, but a choice. Praise doesn't look at circumstances, and it drives away all fear. Satan is therefore unable to penetrate your shield of faith when you praise the Lord, because praise is born out of faith, and this is what the joy of the Lord will do for you. This message is entitled Part 6, The Weapon of Choice. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on July 4th, 2010. And we're happy that you are with us. We know that those outside the United States, July 4th doesn't mean that much to you. But to us living in America, it means a lot. And we are just praising God for that. I'm going to share this with you so you really appreciate it. I was talking to Gert Timmerman about a week ago, discussing things. And he said, how are things going over there? I said, well, my wife and I had a day off. We just went to the lake and we took a swim. He said, what? You are allowed to swim in the lakes? I said, of course we can swim in the lakes. He says, well, here in Belgium, and apparently in Europe, swimming in the lakes is forbidden. Verboten. So I told him, I says, well, welcome to America when you get here. And we let you swim in a lake. So he said, you know, people in Europe are so programmed that when they have a statute of regulation, they don't question it. They just obey, they line up, they go here, they go there, there's no opposition. Can you imagine that if the United States government said, no more swimming in our lakes? We would take Congress and the Senate and the President and we would take them swimming. And swimming in such a way, it's a one way out, but no back. Anyway, let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, praise you, that I can be here today. I thank you, Father God, that I'm not an American by birth, but I'm an American by choice. I made a choice to become an American. And I appreciate this nation, Father God, what it's done for my wife and myself, and for the privilege, this is where we found Christ. This is where we have grown. This is our landlord. And I thank you for that. And I pray right now, Father God, that you would touch the sermon today. It would come out with power. Not only, Father God, in my words, but in power in the people. That when I hear it, they will understand and it will minister to them. I thank you, Father God, that we have the chance to minister not only in America, but around the world to anyone who wants to tune in on our webcast or watch our videos later. So, Father God, thank you, and I praise you now, in Jesus' name. And those who are great said, amen and amen. Well, today, we're going to be talking about grief. I guess half of you are asleep. I said, today I'm going to talk about grief. One person shakes his head. Good morning, everybody. I think you got to know. I'm going to talk about grief for the devil. and joy for us. Got to get you awake here. Joy is very important. In your outline, you have from Nehemiah 8, 9 through 10. I'm just going to read it from the outline here. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshaha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, they taught the people, sent to all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them from whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I wrote this sermon Monday last week. And God had a lesson for me, a practical lesson. Now, I've been working out at the gym for probably 25 years. And Wednesday, as I went for my regular workout, I didn't go last week, I didn't have time. And you know, if you miss 1 week, you can feel it. So I simply went and thinking, you know, today is going to be tough. I've just got to push. So I got there, and my first exercise on the bike to get my heart going the way it should. And I hopped up, and it went easy. I didn't think much about it. I did my time on a bike, and then got to the next thing. And usually I do 10 reps on that. It's one where you lay down and you pull yourself up with your hands behind the back, you know. And so I did 10, and I says, well, that felt good. So I did another 5, and I thought, you know, well, this is good. I don't even feel tired. So as I kept going from machine to machine at different weights, I realized that I had strength that day that I had not had in a long time. And I kicked back, and the Holy Spirit said, well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I said, this is fantastic. And I really tried to push it. And the more I pushed, the more strength I had. Now, I want to tell you what happened Wednesday morning. Normally, in the mornings, I get bad news. Emails, bad things, you know. This is not working, this is not working. We got all kind of bad news. Wednesday morning, right off the bat, I got a great email. And I read that, and I said, wow, praise the Lord. Then there was another great thing happening, and I said, well, praise the Lord for that. Now, I was blessed Wednesday. I didn't meet anyone that worked in a bucket brigade. Now, you know what a bucket brigade is? Those are the people that have buckets with cold water. And as soon as they meet you, you know, they go, here is the bad news for today. I didn't meet anyone. So I left the house, drove down to the gym, and I was just praising God and thinking, you know, wow, a morning with no bad news. And then God showed me that bad news, grief, sorrow, simply takes you down. It saps you. And I decided, well, thank you, Lord. I'm going to keep this. So when other people have bad news, I'm going to simply say, well, too bad. I pray for you, but I am not going to go down in your valley. The joy of the Lord can be likened to the operating system on a computer. The computer is non-functional if it does not have an operating system. Likewise, if the joy of the Lord is missing in your life, you will become non-functional and move into a stage of just existing. That's how most of us have been living over the years, as I have been living. I am saved. I know I'm going to heaven. That's going to happen someday. I'm praising God. But you know, there's a heavy load to carry. There's not a lot of smiling. And it's a sheer discipline that we function. And God simply says, we don't have to live that way. We can have the joy of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 6, and you pick it up in verse number 1. This is from a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. There's a group of people that have the ministry of criticism. Did you hear what I said? Now, these people feel called by God to be critical at all times. And by being critical, they think, you know, I'm doing God's work. I'm telling this slob or this person, you know, to do better. I'm critical. But a critical person never builds up. And you know, when we are criticized, what is in our bones? The bone marrow. And it is in the bone marrow that we have our immune system. And when the bone marrow gets weakened, our immune system goes down. Now, I'm sure that you have discovered this. You're going to sit down and eat a nice dinner or breakfast, whatever it is, and you're happy looking at that, and the phone rings, and you take the call, and you get some bad news. What happened now when you're going to eat? The food doesn't taste that good anymore. You lost your appetite. You went down. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death, there's no remembrance of you. In the grave we shall give you thanks. And where is my groaning? All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Have you ever been there? You know the strength is gone. My eye is consumed because of what? Grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. David had a lot of grief. Some of the grief he caused himself. But here's what you and I are going to have to do, is simply this. People around you are always going to have problems. There's always going to be people that are down. You can do two things. You can minister to them and retain your joy, or you can simply go down into their pit. If you are a swimmer, and they teach you how to save people that are drowning. And I learned this as a very young boy. that you, if you have somebody drowning, you never swim up to them in their face and try to catch them in the front. They will drag you down. You have to go behind them, get a lock underneath the armpits, and then you got to swim backwards and drag them to the shore. Sometimes when you try to save someone drowning, they will get panicky, and sometimes you have to knock them out cold so they can relax, and then you pull them to the shore. Sometimes we need to knock some people out that continually have problems, continually having conflicts, never getting out of the sandbox, but always getting stuck in the sandbox. I made a choice this week. I am not going to go down and be when I'm in the sandbox. I will let them play there, and when they are done and ready, let them come to my level of joy. I'm not going to drop my joy. The joy of the Lord is the first thing Satan will attack in your life. If he is successfully removing your joy, there is no protection left for the rest of your emotions. Turn to Proverbs 15:13. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I read it again. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. My wife and I, over the years, we have counseled many people. I have performed a number of weddings, and some of them succeeded, some of them did not succeed. And I've been sitting many times with a young couple and an older couple, and they're getting ready to get married. And we've gone through things after things, what they need to do, what should be done. And you know, before the wedding, the man is always saying, yeah, we will do that. And the woman says, yes, we should do this. I get all these promises. And they promise everything before the wedding. Something happens after the ceremony and the cake. Suddenly, things are changing. And instead of taking advice and doing what we should do, people do the opposite. How many times have you had a child, and you tell the child, don't do that, and the child says, why not? Because you can get hurt. Well, the child runs around and does it anyway, and suddenly you hear, ah! And you go over and it says, I hurt myself. And you say, well, I told you. If you do that, you will get hurt. Does a child learn anything? Maybe. Sometimes. But you know, it takes many cries before we wisen up and say, I don't like this pain anymore. Proverbs 15:30. I want to read it one more time. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And then turn to 17:23. 17, the 23rd verse. Actually, it should be 17:22, so fix your outline. A merry heart, that's good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drags the bones. If you are sick and you have grief, you will not heal. Grief, sorrow, depression will take a person down. And we are told this over again. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The joy of the Lord can be taken away through sin. Turn to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. When we sin, we can lose that joy. Psalm 32, the first five verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David here is saying this. If I do not confess my sin, if I try to hide it, it's going to cause difficulty. Now, again, I want to speak to not only those people that are here, but those people that are watching us, the people in the future. And let me talk about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means pretending. Now, I would say that probably a majority of people are one way in public and one way at home. In our home, we don't have the respect. We don't respect the parents. We don't respect our spouses. Outside, we are nice because pride. I want people to think well of me. And if they're going to think well of me, I'm going to behave in such a way that they think I'm a nice guy. They're going to say, oh boy, that guy is really nice. But when I get home, or when I get with my friends, or people I know, I don't have to pretend because they know how I am anyway, so why even bother? Let it rip. Anger, whatever it is, just spew it out. Who cares? Have you been in the home where there's an argument going on, you know, and it's just like, blah, 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 like this, and the phone rings. And then the wife or the husband picks up somebody else, and you hear them go, hello? Oh, yes. You want to speak to so-and-so? Not a problem. Just a moment. Hey, you, they want you on the phone. Now, that's hypocrisy. You know, when we are mean, when we are evil, when we are mean, it means we have demonic forces driving us. There's no joy. There's no happiness. This is what David said in verse number 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. When you are not going to confess that you have a problem, but you are keeping silent, your bones will wax old. And you will have a terrible time. You know, it is wonderful if you talk to a husband and a wife and they would tell you this, or particularly the children. Children would simply say, this is what dad does, this is what mom does, and they speak positive. Children will tell you the truth. When we get older, we learn how to lie. There, I almost said something, but I got to watch my mouth. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is the psalm that David wrote, actually it's a prayer, after he had committed murder, adultery, lying, cheating, and stealing somebody else's wife. And listen what he wrote here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now I told this congregation before that if you really want an honest answer, ask your spouse. If you're not married, ask your parents or ask a sibling. Ask a good friend. How do you view me? Can you give me an honest opinion about me? Most people are scared they're not going to tell you what I think about you. But if you really have a friend, he says, yeah, you know, there's a few things that I think that you need to improve on. First of all, you got bad breath. Only a friend would tell you that. Now, don't get angry when somebody tells you that this is what they perceive. Say, thank you for bringing that out to me. Then go to God in prayer and say, is this true? Is this really how I act? If it is God, I don't like it. I want to change. I want to repent. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done as evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge us. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in inward parts. In hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And now verse 8, catch that. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which are broken may rejoice. Some time ago, we had a situation in the church. We had a, matter of fact, it was a fellowship dinner. And there were some people that didn't attend. And so I went home, and I was stewing. I was upset. And the joy left, and anger came in. I was angry. And I was just seizing in anger. And then the Holy Spirit just knocked on my door, not very loud, and said, what's your problem? Well, God, this is the situation. And the Holy Spirit said, forgive. I don't want to forgive. You know, when you're not happy, you don't really want to forgive. Now, I never got any response back from these people. But I simply said in my mind, I can do two things. I can keep on walking, and this will be inside of me and take my joy. I can simply say, Lord, I'm going to forgive these people. I'm just going to release it, forget it. I'm going to move on. I'm going to have a good time with you. And I made a choice. And God restored my joy. This is what you got to do. You got to release. It might be that you are justified. It might be that people have been doing things today. You are justified to be upset. But irregardless, you got to forgive them and release them. Or you will have them for breakfast, you have them for lunch, you have them for dinner, and you have them when you go to bed, and you find them when you wake up in the morning in your bed. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And we sing this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me that joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Remember when you got saved? Remember when you gave your heart to Christ? Remember how happy you were? Joyous. And David said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Let's begin to think about what God has for us. How he loves us. I'm going to go to heaven. Most likely I will never be able to pay off all my debts. That will be my relatives' inheritance. My debts. I'm going. Some people might not have come to church today. That's their problem. I'm not going to think, oh, well, you know, so-and-so didn't come, you're not going to feel bad about it. Forget it. It's a choice. If people make a choice to rebel, they have the right to do that. And I have a right to ignore it. Hello? You have a right to ignore when other people are sinning and simply saying, if that's what you want to do, fine, but I'm not going there. Then secondly, the joy of the Lord can be taken away by an attack from a spouse, child, relative, friend, or an unknown person. Psalms 22. Psalms 22. And we pick it up in verse number 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not. In the night season, I'm not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Notice that. God inhabits the praises of his people. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you, did deliver them. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. But I'm a worm. And no man of reproach of men, a despiser of the people. All that did see me laughed me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Verses 7 and 8. All that is seen me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. Then he delivered him, saying he delighted in him. I lived long enough to know this, that Satan does not want me to be joyous. And he always got people. And there are times Satan will use me to take the joy from somebody else. In our marriage, I learned years ago that sometimes I would criticize my wife, or if the cooking was not to my liking, I would simply say, well, you know, that was not a good meal, and I'd make her cry. And I realized that I was not building her up. I was not like Christ is to the church, the man to the wife. And then somebody told me some years ago, why do you repeat something negative that was not good from the beginning? And I thought about that. There are times you hear things, and the best you can do is simply to go to the garbage disposal and put them down there and don't repeat it. Simply let it go. Why be nasty? Why be evil? And you know, we do it sometimes without even thinking. And Satan will always have someone that would hurt you. It can be you drive up, you happy, say, Lord, drive up your parking lot to some place, and you're singing, praise God, here's a careless person. Just taking a cart, a shopping cart, let it go, and here it comes, ding, your car. And you go, oh, no. And Satan says, now, hand me your joy. Get over that person. Chew them out. Upside down. Call the cops. I've been places. We've been hit a couple of times. I haven't, praise God, I haven't caused an accident. But I've been hit a few times. And it was one particular time. From church, we were leaving, and somebody rear-ended us up on Galleria Boulevard in Roseville. And we called Thomas and Wesley to come back and help us a little bit. And I got out of the car, and you know, I'm so careful. And here my rear end of the car was just banged up. And you know the story, you got an old car, they total it for you. They steal it from you. I looked at this young boy driving, and you know my natural inclination was simple this. Okay, let's rearrange this God's face. Now, did that solve anything? No. So simply, you know, he was shook, he was sorry, he was felt bad. So he didn't say anything, I simply said, well, you know, it will work out. It did work out. But it's so easy to lose it. Hello? You can be here in church. You praise God this morning. You're doing fine right now. You shake people's hand. You go home. And you might only get 3 blocks when you lose it. Word, thought, whatever it is. And everything you had in church is just... And Satan, thank you, I love your joy, I'm going to trash it. Now, get mean, nasty, I'm going to make you sick. Verse 10. I was cast upon you from the womb. You're my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bolts are come past me, strong bolts are bashing and beset me round. These are people. They gaped upon me with their mouth as raving and roaring lion. I'm poured like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have gone past me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I might tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not you far from me, O Lord, O my strength. haste you to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you have heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you the seed of Israel. For he is not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in a great congregation. 25 key verse. My praise shall be of you in a great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Now, my praise shall be of you in a great congregation. This week we had a deliverance of Randy here. And I called him Thursday night. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. I said, praise God. He described some things. I said, this is working fine. I called him Friday night. I said, how are things going? He said, great. Feeling good. I said, praise God, we're moving. As you heard the testimony, I called him Saturday after his last session. And he said, I'm not feeling so good. Matter of fact, I feel like I lost it. Now, at that moment, I want you to catch this now. I'm at the phone. I have great anticipation. We prayed for this man. We put a lot of work into it. People work into him. And here now, finished up. And the man says, I don't know. Now, a demon came up to me and said, nearly came up, I just shot the thought into my mind. It didn't work. It's a lost cause. Now, what did I do? I simply said to myself, I'm going to stand on faith on the Word of God. I have been through enough deliverances to know what the enemy does. And I simply said, Randy, this is not true. Satan is a liar. He cannot tell you any truth. If he tells you you're not feeling good, then start praising God because that means you're feeling good. If the devil says you lost this or that, it's the opposite. If I would have simply joined Randy and says, oh, really? Oh, what a bummer. You know, he wouldn't be here today. He'd be in his hotel room. Crying over, he spent the money coming out there for nothing. But you see, Satan's a liar. And I simply had to stand and say, this is not true. It is not true. It is not going to be true. God did the work. So Satan can use people to take away your joy. Don't let them. Next time, if you're married, and your spouse give you a bad time, simply say, honey, God bless your dirty little heart. I love you. Don't get in a fight. When somebody comes up and give you a bad word, just put a smile on and says, God loves you. Praise is our offensive weapon. Satan cannot stand it when people praise the Lord. He hates it. And that is why he attacked Job. Turn to Job 1:8. You probably should know Job by now. You've been there so many times. The book of Job. And we have it in chapter 1. And I'm just going to read 3 verses here, 8 through 11. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he has on the other side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now Job was praising God. He was simply praising the Lord, worshiping, sacrificing, having a good time. And Satan said, I can't stand it. And that's why he attacked him. When you are praising God, the demons are going to run for the supervisor and say, supervisor, we lost our customer. He's praising God. She's praising God. We lost her. We need help. Supervisor one, supervisor two, get us some more power down here. We got to get that joy out of them. And that's when you got to fight this. No. I'm not going to give my joy away. I'm going to be praising God regardless of circumstances. Look at the box now. This is something God gave me. I'm not taking this out of books. Praise is not an emotion. It is a choice. You're never going to get an emotion to praising God. Praising God is a choice. I am making a choice today to praise God. A man might say, I do not feel good. Things are going bad. Nothing is working out. But I'm going to be praising the Lord. Now, put yourself in my shoes. My wife and I, most of you are working. Or you're on some kind of Social Security or whatever it is. And you get a paycheck. Now, my wife and I have not received, we are about 3 months behind on our salary. Picture yourself now, 3 months, and you haven't got your salary. We got bills to pay. We got all kinds of things to take care of. And the money just haven't been there. Now, what do you do then? Do I go downtown, hang out a sign and say, I need money? What do? I just keep going on and praising God and saying, God, this is your problem. We have bills to pay next week for about $2,500. If we don't pay them, we default on our mortgage. Got to be paid. Am I going to sweat it? No. I'm going to be praising God. You see, praise is not something because I feel good. It is a choice. And every day we got challenges. The phone rings. This guy got a problem. This person got a problem. This is not happening. Whatever it is, there's always going to be a problem. But what you do is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. Praise God, you're going to take care of this. This you will take care of when I'm looking this way. There's never going to be a day, perfect day, in your life. The perfect day will come when you kick the bucket and you go to be with the Lord. That's going to be a perfect day. Until that time, praise is our choice weapon. Now I'm going to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is King Jehoshaphat, called for a time of prayer and fasting, but he received bad news. And we read this. It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them all beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, I be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast with all Judah. And Judah gathered himself together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Picture this now. This king was in trouble. In the old days, at that time, if a king was defeated, he would either be blinded with a hot iron, he would be hung up, cut up, killed, he would have problems. And now he was in trouble. And he simply said, we're going to pray and we're going to fast. Then Jehoshaphat publicly prayed as he stood with the people around him, and they were all in despair. Look at verses 5 through 13. Look at this prayer now. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and rulest not you over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? He's questioning God now. Are you not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt in therein, had built there you a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, if an evil comes upon us, as a sore judgment of pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in your presence, for your name is in this house, and cry unto you in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but it turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out, and your possession which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with the little ones, the wives, and the children. God heard this prayer. In verse 14 through 17, the prophet spoke. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yeel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite, of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When they prayed, the Holy Spirit came. And he said, hearken you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus is the Lord unto you. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Notice this now. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Here's what I wrote in the outline. You got a prophecy. Nothing had changed in the physical world, as the enemy was still marching on Jerusalem. And the people of Judah were still as weak as before the prayer started. But in the spirit world, There had been a great change. Fear had been replaced with faith. And grief had been replaced by joy. Look in verses 18 through 19. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. You might be sick. You might have an infirmity. And Satan is telling you, you will never get healed. That's not in the Word of God. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal the sick and the lame, the blind, the lepers. It says in the Bible, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The moment you have set your mind to do something for God, to set out a new path, begin to praise Him and say, thank you, Lord. The answer is on His way. Now the Sims in New York are facing an uphill battle. Churches are weak. Difficult time to find a Christian church. Despair is not the answer. Praise is the answer. Praising God for the impossible. Every one of us got mountains. And God placed the mountains in front of us so we can learn to move them down in faith. Do you realize that in the next life you could be ruling with Christ? You could be ruling in different areas in a new creation. And if you cannot handle small things here, how can God put you over a constellation of stars? He might give you just a moon to handle. And you worry about, is the moon going to stay in orbit or is it going to fall out? I don't know. Relax. God has it under control. Sit back today and simply say this. Thank you, Lord. I am going to move from the street of murmuring, complaint, and defeat to the road of praise. I'm going to move my address to Praise Street, number 3. That's what I'm going to live. But look at the outline now. King Jehoshaphat and the people had to face the enemy. He had to face the enemy. We always had to face the enemy and stare them down. Yesterday I got a letter from the supervisors of Placer County. And immediately the devil said, you're having problems. Somebody has told things about your property and so on. And the supervisors now are going to take it up in a board meeting. You're in trouble. I had to drive from the mailbox to the house. I'm driving down. Oh, God, why did the board of supervisors write me a letter? They would not write me a letter unless I'm in trouble. And the devil said, yeah, you're in trouble. So that's the first letter I open. And guess what? The board of supervisors have made a decision that all the citizens in Sheridan can take the heavy trash on a certain day and get a free dump. Whew. Thank you, Lord. You know, we always go for the worst possible news. And I felt relieved. But listen now, you got to face it. King Jehoshaphat and the people had to face the enemy. We always had to face the enemy and to stare him down. By faith, declared that praise was the answer. Instead of sending battle-hardened soldiers to meet the enemy, the singers were sent out in front of the army, and praises to God begin to echo. Look in verse number 20 and 21. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Can I give you a picture of that? Let me give you a picture of North Korea. Let's say that this congregation, all of us, travel to China. And we take a train up to the border of North Korea. And there we stand. And I'm simply saying this. We're going to take down North Korea. Where are guns? Don't have any. Get your songbooks up. Get your tambourines going. And here we line up. And then we walk across the border into North Korea, praising God, hallelujah, to God be the glory. And then we see the border guards dying like flies, just dropping over. We march further in, and the North Korean army just melt, just drop dead. And we walk up to Pyongyang, walk into the place that the president palace, whatever they have, and we say to the leader there, "Drop dead." And he drops dead. And here we are praising God. Now you would say, that can't happen. That cannot happen. Well, you see, you and I don't have any faith. Now, first of all, we've got to be called to do that. But Jehoshaphat was called to face the enemy. Listen to verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone held to destroy one another. Think about that. These soldiers said, "Okay, now we're going to kill all these people living here." They finished that. Now they said, "Okay, let's kill one another now." And they all died because God intervened. God simply says, "I will fight." Whatever battle you and I are fighting, let the Lord do the fighting and start to begin to praise the Lord. Praise always moves the hand of God. And instead of having to fight the enemy, God took them down supernaturally. I had somebody write me some time back, "Why are you attacking the oil prices every week? You know, why do you do that?" Well, I'm persistent, and I'm determined to destroy the work of these speculators. And I believe you are praising God up here. Some weeks it goes up a little bit, but you know what? We have pressed it down. They have not been able to take off. They were hoping to be up about $120 a barrel by now. And guess what? They ain't going. Because we are praising God. Turn up to the book of Acts chapter 16. And I hope that you will get it now as I will try to get a point in this. Like they say, put the last nail in the coffin. The book of Acts 16. And we're going to look at verse number 23. Acts 16, 23. Let me read for you first. Paul and Silas had to make a choice. When they were brutally beaten, soundly treated, thrown to dark prison, where their hands and feet were shackled, they chose to praise the Lord. As blood was dripping from our backs, rats were scurrying around, trying to bite them. Acts 16:23. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Whoever received such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. At midnight, nothing had changed. Their rats were nibbling at them. Blood was dripping. Pain was in their bodies. And you know, Paul and Silas said, instead of moaning and groaning, let's just begin to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift up those holy hands and shake them off and so on, whatever that song goes. Still can't remember it. Tried it last week. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep, and seeing the prison was open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prison had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for you're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour at night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want you to think now. Evening, or actually late afternoon, Paul and Silas beaten mercilessly. God is simply saying, "I'm going to save the jailer." They're in prison now, sitting there with pain. If they would have simply said, "Forget it, God. We're just going to sit here and dry and take our pain," that jailer would not have been saved. He got saved because they praised God. Let me tell you this. There are many things in our lives, negative. My brother and I, we have a cousin, and he's a slick operator. And we have some aunts, and our first aunt died. And, you know, you like, we were close to them somewhat. And you would like to get something for your relative when they die, except, you know, unpaid bills. So anyway, this cousin, you know, he had weaseled himself in. She had written a testament, and he got everything, lock, stock, and barrel. And then he wrote to us and simply said, you know, we got to have this for the government. You know, they need you to sign off. "Will you please sign off? You know, I got everything, but I need your signatures, you know, just to make it right for the government." So I said, "Okay," I signed off. Second aunt died. Guess what? He'd been there. Got in a letter. "You know, I got everything, but you know, I needed to sign off." "You do, huh? Ma'am. You see, dark thoughts begin to form in me. That weasel, he took one aunt, he took another one. He's working on an uncle, right? Not the last one we got left. And most likely we'll get the letter again saying, 'Will you sign off?'" I decided I had to forgive this guy. You know, he might got the money, he might got some furniture, he might got some stuff. But you know what? He ain't taking it with him. And has God blessed me? Yes, he's blessed me. Am I healthy? Yes, I'm healthy. Am I living a good life? Yes, I'm living a good life. So what? Let the dead bury the dead. I released him. I simply prayed, God, I forgive him. I don't care. I don't have anything in my heart. And I can say that today and have no bad feelings. I feel sorry for him. But I don't care about the money we lost, or if there was any money. Here's what we need to do. Release all bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, bickering. Let it go and start praising the Lord. Here's what I said again a second time. Praise is not an emotion, but a choice of our free will. Praise drives away all fears. I know where my time went. Acts chapter 4. Acts, the fourth chapter. And just very quickly read a couple of verses here. Acts 4. And I want to pick it up in verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold our threatenings. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, when they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to think about it right now. Here were the apostles, the early church, a minority, praising God, the Jewish leadership, the Romans against them. Today, where is the high priest? Where is the Jewish leadership? In hell. Burning hotter than hot. Where are the Romans? Leadership, same place. Where are the apostles? The other 120 others in heaven, praising God, not for just now, but for eternity. Listen, we win. Let's not worry about the guy in the White House. God will take care of him. If God wants to save his dirt in the heart, he will. If not, he will go like the rest of them to hell when he dies. You and I are destined for heaven. In the meantime, we can enjoy the ride. Have a good time. Praise drives away all fear. And Satan cannot penetrate praise. I've got to give you 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a long way to the fireworks, so don't worry about it. They wait for you. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you pick it up in verse 11. Now, these are good words. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strength and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, the words they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they should behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or to the governors of them that are set by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience to what God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable God. For even here at the word you called, because Christ also suffered with us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps. Next time somebody is promoted in your department and they are slackers, goofing off, but they are in with a boss and they get the promotion and the money, and you're burning inside and said, oh, that rotten guy, I should have had a job. Relax. Start praising God and saying, Lord, I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to forgive these people. I'm going to be praising you. I'm not going to have any bitterness. I'm going to let it go, because you will have something better for me. Closing scriptures in Philippians. Philippians are closing scriptures for today. And this is a great scripture to close. Philippians chapter 4. Can things be bad? They can never be as bad. You can't praise God. Philippians 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice when you get a lot of money. Rejoice when you have a good time. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, are you a praiser or are you a complainer? What street do you live on? Do you live on Praise Street or Complaint Street? Today, as we have the invitation, if you have bitterness, anger, hate, resentment, you feel bad about different things, today is a great time to come to the altars, to pray with either a deacon, an elder, and simply say, I'm here today to unload my garbage. You understand that? Garbage stinks. If you don't believe that, go to your garbage can, open it up in a hot summer day. Stick your head in there, and what do you smell? It stinks. Bitterness, anger, resentment stinks to God. It's garbage. Let's get rid of it. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life at the salvation, but how you finish it. Have you made plans on how to finish your life, or are you just drifting? And finally, do you have an ear to hear with? Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that I can truly say that I have relinquished all anger and bitterness and resentment, Father God. And I know that the devil is coming with a truckload tomorrow and another truckload the next day. But Father God, give me the strength to simply tell them to pack it up and keep on moving. They're not stopping at my address. And I pray for everyone in the building today. And I pray, Father God, for those watching us, that, Lord, help us to understand that praise is the key to victory. Help us to release all bitterness and anger and resentment and hate and bitterness. Let it go. Father God, help us to flush it so that you can heal us, fill us with your joy, and give us victory in the middle of a creation of evil. And I thank and I praise you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit touching people right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The altars are open. Elders and deacons are here. You come. They're ready to pray for you. And if you're watching us and you say, can I pray with somebody right now? Call us. Give us your number. Somebody will call you back within the next 15, 20 minutes. Wherever you are in the world, look at the number on the screen that will come up. Most of all, go to Jesus. He will touch you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, You're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the sixth part in the series, Destroying the Works of the Devil, and was entitled, The Weapon of Choice. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength, but most people don't pursue it, and so their lives are mediocre and they function through sheer discipline. In order for the devil to attack you, He must first take away your joy so that you will be open to the filth which he will put into your mind. Praise is an offensive weapon because it is not an emotion, but a choice. Praise doesn't look at circumstances, and it drives away all fear. Satan is therefore unable to penetrate your shield of faith when you praise the Lord, because praise is born out of faith, and this is what the joy of the Lord will do for you. Think of this the next time you're at the corner of Praise Avenue and Complaining Court. Which way will you go? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1245. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.